Aloha kakou. Welcome to the Aloha Friday conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Noe Tanigawa. Well, you folks on Maui, it was an amazing year for that jazz contest at Peahi. Maybe a little too amazing, huh? And here on Oahu, John Florence made the first ever U.S. Olympic team with his performance at Ehukai yesterday. There's still a lot going on out on the North Shore, so why don't we, just kind of head out that way with John Clark. Now, you probably have his books, the Beaches of Hawaii series. John's a leading authority on Hawaii shorelines. We're off on a little adventure with him out to Haleiwa. Fellow townies, you know what that drive is like, how it works on your mind once you get out of Wahiawa. You're driving, and the sky hits you, and you come over that rise, and the blue Pacific opens up.
Then you start to see the white caps. You see the breaks.
Go.
Your spirits start to lift.
Exactly.
On this day, John Clark and I were heading out to Haleiwa Town.
Ready to roll?
Let's go.
Okay, let's roll.
Strolling to the tip of Pua'ena Point, the right arm of Haleiwa Harbor, to look up and down the coast. Whoa! What's that?
Hydrofoil. It's the latest thing in surfing. There's another one.
Can I take a picture of you with your incredible hydrofoil?
Good to see you. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
Rollin,
Noe.
Yeah.
Tell me about this ride,
Oh my gosh.
Why?
The only thing you have to know is don't try it because you will be instantly addicted. And you won't think of anything else.
Not.
You got that on tape?
I do.
It's true. Nah, it's super fun.
How does it compare to surfing?
Surfing's really fun. I love surfing. I still surf. But this is like maybe one third faster than the fastest surfboard. And you can ride, makes like mush, like waist high mush. Super duper fun. Like, you look at waves in a whole different light. It's pretty revolutionary, actually. Have you tried it yet,
no,
Chief?
God, love it.
Oh, it's so fun.
Right on, Rollin. Thanks.
See you, Chief. Okay. Right on, Noah.
Good to meet you.
He's a firefighter. That's why he was calling me Chief.
I mean, now I have to remember, too, that you've also been a fire captain. So
yep.
You have another layer of different way of looking at these.
I do.
Water phenomena, yeah.
Yeah, so I was a city lifeguard at Sandy Beach for 2 years, and then I joined the fire department, and I had 33 years with fire, with HFD.
Uh-huh. Winter season in the North Shore, tell me about it.
Well, it's spectacular for one thing. I mean, people from all over the world come here to Hawaii just to see the winter surf and see how the surfers handle it. So if you're experienced, if you know what you're doing, then it's great. If you're not experienced but you want to get out there and try it, it's probably not a good idea.
Oh, where would people like that start?
In Waikiki.
Oh, okay.
Or right over here at inside Pua'ena Point.
Yeah.
But not outside Pua'ena Point where it's giant right now.
Okay, so this is at this time of year, the season is kind of, what, midway, in December or what?
We're just getting started into the winter season right now. The big surf starts coming maybe about in November. It'll be powering big surf like this through March and maybe into April. That's why the Triple Crown is going on and the Eddy is going on. All of the internationally famous contests are run at this particular time.
Into January.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you help me differentiate between the breaks? How many
breaks
are there on the North Shore?
Oh, sure. There's lots of them. I've never actually counted the breaks on the North Shore, but there's probably at least 50 of them. So right now we're looking at three. We've got inside Pua'ena Point, Pua'ena Point, outside Pua'ena Point. Then off to our right, the next spot over is Police Beach. And then you're getting down towards the Turtle Beach area, down there where the turtles come and everybody goes to see them. And then there's a whole bunch of spots running all the way the entire length of the North Shore.
And they're all different?
Every single one is different. Every single one is an individual ocean park, if you want to look at it that way.
And the qualities of the surf are different.
They're all different because of the bottom contour, because of the land contour. Everything factors in to make every spot just a little different than the others.
Could you maybe compare a couple of them, maybe a couple of the ones we know best, so that we can get an idea of what differences result in what, you know?
Okay, well, let's start at the pipeline then. The pipeline, there's nothing between the North Pacific and the beach at the pipeline except a very shallow reef. So you get these 10 to 15 foot waves just coming out of the deep blue, and they hit this super shallow reef, and then they just jump. And when they jump, they pitch and form this pipeline-like barrel, this tube. And that's what makes that break so dangerous, is that it's a super vertical, super steep, super challenging wave. But at the same time, surfers consider it one of the best rides in the world.
Why? Because it's bad, or what? Why?
Because you can get into the tube of the wave, the barrel of the wave, and you can disappear in there for literally seconds on end, and then you come flying out of it. That's getting pretty close to nature, I'd say.
So that pipeline wave, it sounds like just a monster fast wave. Yeah.
You have to be a really good surfer to surf the pipeline.
So compare it to maybe where else, on Sunset Beach or?
The break at Sunset is also an internationally famous surf spot. One of the Triple Crown events is held there. The break at Sunset is different too. The reef there is deeper and it's more gradual and it extends much further out. So the waves there are breaking maybe a quarter mile offshore, if not more on bigger days, and then they come into a very shallow reef inside. So you have a giant wave on the outside that's diminishing in size as you come towards the beach. So it's a reef bottom again, but it's not the difference in elevation of the reef on the bottom isn't quite as dramatic as the pipeline is. But it's still a super challenging wave.
What kind of difference is there in the ride, let's say?
The pipeline is a steeper, I don't want to say more dangerous. It's a steeper, very challenging, fast ride. And the ride at Sunset Beach, because it breaks further out, is also a big challenging wave, but it's a much longer ride. You can ride it much further.
Oh, I see, all right. Describe what happens at Waimea Bay.
Waimea Bay is a point break. So the point and the reef, and there's a reef off the point, but you've got this point at the bay, as you're facing the ocean, it's the right point of the bay. You've got this point out there with a fairly shallow bottom, and the waves there, for whatever those reasons, those bottom conditions are, the waves there will break up to like 20 and 30 and even 40 foot faces. But they only break right on the point, so the ride there is much shorter than at Pipeline or at Sunset Beach, because you're just taking off on this monstrous peak, trying to get down the face of the wave so that you can make a turn and just aim for the channel in the middle of the bay. So Waimea Bay is all about size. It's all about riding big waves. It's extreme surfing. Waimea doesn't even break until the waves are about 10 to 12 feet faces. That's one of the modern Wahipana, the white tower that you can see up there.
Is that on the side of Waimea?
It is.
Yay! What is that, for heaven's sake? How come I don't know?
I'll tell you. Well, go ahead and take your picture.
We'll find out what that white tower above Waimea Bay is all about in the next Aloha Friday, okay? And for now, a song by one of the North Shore's favorite sons, Jack Johnson, Only the Ocean. Want to hear what Jack said about this song? The sea is a place my father led me to, and it's a place I've taken my own children. When my father died, We took his ashes to the sea. Only the ocean is really a song for my father. Every time I go to the ocean now, I feel like I'm visiting him.
After all of this time, after all of these seasons, after your one decision to go to the water for a reason, it's only the ocean and you. And all of these lines will all be erased soon. They go out with the tide and come back with the waves. So it's only the ocean and you.
Johnson. Gee, thanks, Jack. Only the ocean. May you and I get out into it sometime very soon. We'll take another trip North Shore with John Clark next year, okay? He was an advisor for the new exhibit that opened this week at the Bishop Museum, Mai Kinohi Mai, Surfing in Hawaii. And our congratulations to Carissa Moore and John Florence, representing Hawaii and the U.S. in the first Olympic surf meets at Tokyo 2020. Yes.
Everybody go surf. Ooh, wow. Surf, surf. Waimea, sunset, pipeline, Haleiwa, bells in land. Bamburas, rock piles, ala moan and the Kaiser. Oh, everybody go surf.
This is The Conversation on statewide, member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. Coming up, your Aloha Friday backyard quiz. In this Aloha Friday Backyard Quiz, we highlight art in our communities. At the entrance to the John A. Burns School of Medicine in Kaka'ako, there's a large multimedia art installation titled Dream Leaves. It's forms inspired by kalo plants, which for centuries have been the center of Hawaiian life and mythology. Taro provides both physical and spiritual sustenance. The sculpture is composed of nine of large stem-like poles and enormous abstract leaves. The laminated glass changes color at different angles, and the leaves cast moving shadows on the building and on the walkways. Name the artist who created this giant installation designed to become what he calls a garden of the mind for students and visitors who pass under it. Call our talkback line. Here's the number, 808-792-8217 if you know the answer. 808-792-8217. The first three to get it right get our reusable tote bag that tells people you got it right.
¶¶ Support for the Aloha Friday quiz comes from the realtors and staff of Locations, proudly supporting HPR's commitment to sharing stories of Hawaii's people and places. Locations, welcome home.
Okay, we're going to have some fun with this one, okay? Our party line calls to neighbor islands, and we're starting on Hawaii Island with a recent transplant, Isabella Hughes. She's the force behind Shaka Tea, now in 30,000 locations around the U.S. We have to find out more about this at some point. But Bella is also co-founder of the Honolulu Biennial. She's a cultural commentator just back from talking about art in the Pacific at a conference in the United Arab Emirates. And she's sniffing out art happenings for us on the Big Island right now. Bella.
Hello, how are you?
Yay, I'm so glad to be talking. Where are you anyway?
I am right in Hilo Town.
Aha.
A very happy resident here. I moved here in 2018.
Are all the smart, fun people moving to Hilo? Gosh.
I don't want to say all the smart, fun people are moving here,
stop.
But
it's
an incredible
stop.
Community, and I'm really excited to share with you a little bit about the conversation I had yesterday with one of the most inspiring women I've met since moving here.
Really? Who?
Yes, her name is Mia Tsukasaki. She's originally from Hilo, and she is the co-founder and director of an amazing experimental residency called Temple Children. She co-founded this with Australian street artist Megs back in 2016.
Wow. Temple Children? Is this religious at all?
No, it's not religious, but it feels, living in Hilo and seeing their murals all over downtown Hilo, very much like a cathartic religious, almost like experience. And what's really amazed me is just the level of quality and how, being an experimental residency, they're really, really into the hybridity and a multidisciplinary approach of connecting art and sustainability.
Wow. It's
just something you've got to come to Hilo and do a walking tour of their amazing public murals. Next time you're in town.
That's how you noticed them? You started seeing murals around town?
Exactly. KTA, the grocery store. They've got two, and that first is sort of how I began to notice them. And then I started following them on Instagram. It's, you know, Instagram handle Temple Children. And then most recently, it closed up last month, was an incredible show. If you're familiar with the East Hawaii Cultural Center, Contemporary Museum of Hawaii, right in downtown Hilo, they had a show called Kindred Spirits that brought together 11 artists, and it was phenomenal.
Were they all Hilo people or what?
No, so the residency, it's all about connection. And what really struck me with my conversation yesterday with Mia was about how the residency, it's not a static thing. And the residency itself, she really views art as the vehicle for this connection and bringing in artists from all over the world. Sometimes they work with local artists, but generally the focus is national and international, and really sharing our culture, our community, with a huge emphasis on sustainability, permaculture, Aina-based learning, and the experience has actually changed lives. She shared they've had artists, you know, leave the residency saying they're now actually thinking about where their food comes from, how to live a more sustainable life. So it's a very fascinating project.
Gosh, because I was looking at the exhibit that they did at East Hawaii Cultural Center, which now I realize is called what? The Contemporary Museum of Hawaii?
Yes.
I mean, this is a mind switch for me, and I love it.
Contemporary Museum of Hawaii.
Okay, so that's ahead. But their exhibit, I mean, it seemed like a multimedia crazy immersion thing based around permaculture farming.
Exactly. And it was incredibly multidisciplinary. And in addition to the actual exhibit with everything from, you know, light installations to film, there were also then four new public murals that you can see right now in Hilo. They take great care of their murals. They tend to be around for 3 or 4 years. So plenty of time for anybody on any of the other islands to hop on over and see them.
Oh, man, thank you so much for opening our eyes to this. Okay, this is a group called Temple Children. Have they got a location in Hilo?
Actually, the residency is run out of Mia's own house, which was really, really, I think, such a reflection on hosting and connection, which she underscored. And then if you come to Hilo, I would be happy. Anyone can hit me up and take you on a walking tour, and I'm sure Mia would join as well.
Oh, God, that'd be so great. I'm going to do that for sure. How do we contact you, Bella?
You can email me at hello@isabellaartsadvisory.com.
Okay. Hello@isabellaartsadvisory.com. Hey, thank you so much for turning us on to this wonderful group here. We have so much more to talk about. And I saw that the exhibit they had was a sort of a combination of efforts with the County of Hawaii, Keokaha One Youth Development, Right On For You, Novo Painting. Who are they? So we got to find out about a lot of stuff going on in Hilo.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for having me on, and I cannot emphasize enough, everyone should check out Temple Children. Definitely follow them on Instagram, learn more. It is one of the most exciting residency programs, not just locally, but truly globally.
Yay. Thanks, Bella. Yep. We'll check back with you in 2020.
Okay. Happy Aloha Friday.
Aloha. Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. Party line. Oh, man. That was great. Hey, let's head over to Lana'ina. Hey, have you ever been to the Lana'i Culture and Heritage Center? It's right in town. We're going to talk with longtime Lana'i educator Diane Preza about how they do the holidays over there.
Aloha, the Lana'i Culture and Heritage Center. Diane speaking.
Yay! Hi, Diane. It's Noe.
Oh, hi, Noe. How are you?
Really good.
Good.
So glad you're there. We always think of you folks kind of freezing over there in Lana'i City.
You know, it's funny because lately it's been kind of warm. Only lately, within the last week or so, maybe get a little bit nippy, but it's very odd that it was so warm here. So.
Gee, Diane, it's really fun to get to talk to you there at the Culture Center. What is it like on Lana'i, like Christmas time? What goes on?
Well, you know, Lana'i is very laid back, very peaceful, very quiet, but, you know, we have things that happen in the community. The other week we had a Christmas tree lighting. So in front of the Culture Center, there's a Cook Island pine that they decorate. Santa comes on the fire truck, you know, in the back of the pickup, and then he greets the kids, and there's goodie bags, and there are food vendors, and there are performances. And so it's pretty. Then at 6 o'clock, the lights get lit up, and it's a pretty big tree.
It is. I remember seeing it there. It's kind of awesome. I mean, are there a lot of kids on Lana'i?
There are. You'd be amazed. And it's a great time because the kids from college come back home and families come back home to visit. So it's always nice to see people during the holidays.
Right. The community fattens back up, huh?
It does, actually. We had a cool little fun run, the Jingle Bell Dash, the other weekend. There's going to be a Christmas luncheon, a senior Christmas luncheon, that's going to happen on Christmas Day, and the community all pitch in and make a really nice luncheon, especially for the seniors, although anyone is invited. But
where's that?
We have that at the senior center in town, and people donate turkeys and, you know, side dishes. And for those that can't make it to the center to enjoy the lunch and the entertainment, we deliver to homes. We'll bring them lunch, and the businesses here donate items to put in a gift bag for them. So we've done it for many, many years. And
do you feel like you kind of know kind of everybody?
Oh, yeah. So because I'm born here and raised here, you know, there are a lot of new people here too, but it's still a sense of community here. People just trying to help each other out, and it's just nice to see because our family delivers. It's a yearly thing for us, and so we have the same list pretty much every year.
You get to check in on them.
We get to check in and say hello, and people are so happy, you know, that you go to visit, and
Well, do you folks, I mean, you have Ala Moana Shopping Center and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it, like Amazon Avalanche on Lana'i right now, or what?
Amazon Prime is a big thing, I think, here.
Or so, do you make your gifts at all?
I don't know. Maybe not as much as before, I think. So I think a lot of people, they go off island to shop. A big thing is for folks here on Lanai is they go to Maui, they take the ferry over. It's relatively inexpensive, and they bring over coolers and empty boxes, and then they'll go to Costco and or, you know, the stores there, and then they'll shop there, and then they'll come home. It's a little bit more cheaper to ride the ferry than catch a flight over to Honolulu. And, you know, if you go to Honolulu, there are, you know, not that many flights, but there are some, but, you know, you have bag limitations and you have to pay for bags. But the ferry that services us, you know, they're very kind and, you know, very accommodating to the community, so.
That's just so neat how that works out.
Yeah.
Huh. And, you know, I see that the Culture Center has a big, like, anniversary party coming up in January.
Yeah, so January 18 on a Saturday, we're going to have a celebration to celebrate 10 years in this location.
Oh.
We'll have some entertainment and food, and we're happy when visitors come, but we're also so happy when we have people from the community come up and look through things and reminisce, and it's pretty cool. Sometimes we have the kupuna in the community will come up and look through old photographs that we have, and they know who people are, and, you know, it helps us to document and keep that in our records. So talking story with them, they're so much fun.
They're a treasure trove.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We'll talk to you again before that so we can find out more about what's in the Culture Center. Okay.
Sure, Noi.
Oh, thanks so much, Diane.
You're
really
welcome.
Good catching up.
Nice talking to you.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, we'll stay in touch.
Aloha.
I really hope you have some time to drop by the Lanai Culture and Heritage Center sometime. And you probably already have been to the Maui Arts and Culture Center right there in Kahului. All you people in Hawaii who love wood products, Nida Bangerter, the director of the Mac Schaefer Gallery, has been scouring the U.S. for intriguing and thrilling wood art. We just have to see this. Nida, are you here on the line?
Good morning, Noi.
Hey, good morning. Well, what have you found for us?
Oh, I have my back loading bay in the gallery full of 25 large crates full of wonder. So this is the Woodworker's Journey Concept to Creation. It's the next exhibition. Mm. And it's in honor of our Maui Arts and Cultural Center's 25th anniversary.
Oh.
So I invited 25 artists from Hawaii and the mainland U.S. To participate. And they all have distinguished careers in woodworking.
Huh. Great.
So, and the title of the show really leads you to concept and creation, leads you to the focus of the invitational to show the process of woodworking and thinking behind the thinking behind the ideas and use of material and how they do it.
What were some interesting new threads that you found?
Well, you know, they're kind of being discovered certainly as we open those crates, as I've seen images on JPEGs and just corresponding for the year and a half that this has taken to pull this together.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are seven women participating in this exhibit, and their work is really remarkable, and I find that it's quite playful. One that I really, whose work I'm really admiring is Katie Hudnall. She's an artist from Indiana. And she's also a teacher. She's an associate professor of furniture and design at the Heron School of Art and Design. And she's created four small cabinets for the exhibition. And she uses salvaged lumber. And she has a very whimsical and sort of, you know, these are creature-like cabinets with personalities. And they're exquisite.
Do they have drawers or anything?
They do. It's a cabinet that opens, and then she has the animal looking back at you when you open the cabinet. So there's little shelves.
Oh, how fun.
Things. Yeah, they're very playful. Really fun. Another woman whose work is extraordinary is Yuri Kobayashi, and she teaches at Rhode Island School of Design. So she's sending this stunning bent wood rocking chair made out of ash wood, and it really exemplifies her sense of design and furniture and how she teaches. And sure.
Is that what does it look like? Is it organic shapes? Is it more modernist looking? I mean, I'm trying to get an idea.
It's very modern looking. So it's made out of ash, which is a very light hard wood.
Mm.
And this is another thing we're seeing is woods from around the country.
Exactly.
Natural woods. But ash is a beautiful, almost white wood. Oof. And she has a way of steaming and bending the wood so that the rocker is not your typical, what we think of as a rocking chair. It's more rounded shapes in the form and design of it.
I feel like I'll be rolling around.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Nida, do you have any local people in the show as well? What?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, Hawaii woodworking, the history goes deep in the appreciation of woodworking in Hawaii, certainly. But there's 11 artists invited from the different islands in Hawaii. Peter Naramore and Alan Wilkinson and Ty Lake were consultants on this exhibit for me, so I want to definitely mention them. Also, Sean Fleming from Maui, Joel Bright, Robert Butts, Marcus Castang, Ricardo Vasquez, Michael Patrick Smith from the Big Island, and Mats Vogovic, also from Kona.
Ooh, wow. You know, it's just so exciting that you've had this chance to survey what's going on, and you've really, really concluded that we've got some worthy artisans here in our state. This is going to be exciting to see them shoulder to shoulder.
Oh, definitely. I think it's like the only chance to see this much quality, high level of craft and design and of this particular group, because it's not traveling anywhere else.
Okay. When does it open?
It's a great opportunity for collectors if they're looking for a piece of beautiful functional or non-functional wood.
It opens when and closes when?
So we open, public opening is January 6th, and it runs through February 23rd, and we're open Tuesdays through Sundays, 10 to 5.
And you've got some cute programming with this, too, so we've got to check the MAC website. Thanks much. Wow, Nida.
Always a pleasure talking to you, Nelly. Take care.
Staying in touch. Bye-bye. Ah, yeah. Can't wait for that show. We may have to head over for that one, guys. And now, let's connect with our buddy on Kauai, Carol Yotsuda. She served on the HPR board 37 years teaching art in DOE, this woman, but that was just a way to create more artists on the island of Kauai. She founded the Garland Island Arts Council, generally knows what's up. Hey, Carol, are you here?
Hi. I'm here.
This is going to be hard, Carol. I don't think we've ever talked for less than half an hour.
I know. We got to stop meeting like this.
So what you been up to? I heard you were block printing yesterday.
Yes. We were invited by the Kukui'ula village. They're called the Chopstick Kukui'ula. Hmm. And they asked, I guess they wanted to gift Garden Island Arts Council with a fundraising award.
Oh.
So this was the second time we went there, and Shannon Hiromoto from Machine organized the event, and my volunteers went, and we just had so much fun. And at the end, they gave us a check for $4,000.
All right. Oh, that must have felt so good, Kukui'ula Village. Nice. Very nice job. All right. Garden Island Arts Council. Fantastic. Hey, and that means you were working with Shannon.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
My former student, wonderful artist.
She came over to Oahu to bring some things for the Honolulu print and book fair.
Oh, yeah.
And I found some wonderful things by her. Oh, my gosh. You have to tell her hi for me, Carol.
Oh, yes, of course.
What's still coming up in on your island for Christmas stuff?
Oh, what's not coming up? You know, when I was sitting at the table at Kukui'ula, one of the snowbirds, these are people that live part-time here and part-time on the mainland, he came and reintroduced himself to me, and he says, I came in Saturday on the plane. I have your e-calendar with me, and we just checked into the hotel to get our key, and then we started going to all the things you have listed in
what?
Your
e-calendar. E-calendar.
So we went right out to Kilauea to the Kilauea Christmas concert by Paula, and had nonstop been going from event to event because there's so much going on this island.
Okay, now wait. This e-calendar, he's right. It's a good, like, just make it your date book. So where do we get this e-calendar?
Oh, about 10 people every week just write to me, or they connect to the
and
Arts
how can...
Council and they said, put me on your list.
I know. It's like the most comprehensive list for Kauai's, but how can people who don't get it find it?
they just have to email me at giac05@icloud.com.
Okay, that's GIAC for Garden Island Arts Council, GIAC05@icloud.com.
And if they put me on the list, then they will be on the list.
Oh, man, this list is incredible, guys. Sign up
for
sure.
People on other islands follow it, too.
Exactly. Okay. Well, that's what I'm going to do to find out what to do on Kauai over the holidays, Carol. Yeah. And then you know what? We can check back with you in 2020, especially for E Kanikapila Kako.
Oh, we have a fabulous lineup.
All right.
And we're going to top it off with the Sovereign String Band.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. We're going to have to check back. Thanks so much, Carol. Talk to you soon. Wow, that was so much fun to go all the way from Hilo to Wailua on an Aloha Friday.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Locations, Haleakala Waldorf School, and Honolulu Waldorf School.
Entrance to the John A. Burns School of Medicine, JABSM, in Kaka'ako, you really can't miss a large multimedia art installation called Dream Leaves. Its main form inspired by kala, or taro, the center of Hawaiian life. The installation was created by Oregon-based artist Ed Carpenter. He works internationally from his studio there in Portland. And in the early 70s, Carpenter studied architectural glass art under artists in England and Germany. He collaborates with a variety of experts and oversees the development of each commission, then installs them himself with a crew of longtime helpers. His work showcases his interest in light. It's meant to bring viewers into a garden of the mind, a landscape of botanical memories. It's neat. You'll enjoy the moving shadows and the color changes in the glass. If you've never seen it, take a little stroll in Kaka'ako. Maybe visit JABSM and see it for yourself. That's today's quiz. If you have one, you can send it to talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. Honolulu's most respected fine art and antique dealer, Robin Bunton of Honolulu Gallery, closed on Baratania Street last Sunday. The gallery actually started 43 years ago when Robin and his wife Judy opened Shibui Antiques in Keaau. I heard the elder Buntons moved to Mexico, and I've been looking forward to catching up with their son Tusha and daughter Aisha Bunton, who now own the business. Oh my gosh! I can't believe what I had my bag on.
It's only 7,000 years of jade carving.
Oh, wow.
We're known all over the world for our Asian antiques. And Chinese jade is one of my specialties and was one of Robin's specialties. And it's so sad to see that disappearing, because we did shows in New York, Hong Kong, Shanghai, San Francisco, literally all over the world. And those antique shows, art shows, are all gone. Retail business is dead. That's basically what all of this comes down to. We can't afford to have such a high overhead and compete with people who are selling things on the internet out of a warehouse at wholesale prices to the public. And so you will not be able to go into any place any longer anywhere to look and physically see fine art and antiques. We became, at a certain point, a showroom for people to go and look at what they could then go and buy online. We cannot compete with that. That's what the internet has done.
We tried regular jobs and some really great experiences, but we were so spoiled from this lifestyle of, you know, oh, wow, what is that? You know, there's a new story. There's a new form of entertainment almost, you know, that, oh, Dad would tell you what he had found and why it's so cool. And the more you look at it, the more you can see what's happening and how it became that way.
Sometimes Robin would show us something and we're like, what's that? You know, and it doesn't seem like anything special or... But once you start to, you know, really look at it and see what is in it, then it's like, wow, that really is wonderful. That really is great. It's not something that hits you over the head right away. And that's what I was telling you about, you know, the younger generation and this sort of attention deficit disorder that is so constant, is that they want that instant gratification of being hit over the head with something wonderful. And that isn't what everything is about. Sometimes you have to live with it a little bit to see the beauty in it, to see how incredible it is. You get into something and it inspires you. You want more. It's like the worst drug ever.
One thing that our dad has always told us is, if you want to hate something or someone, don't learn about it. I think that's so true. It's not necessarily that the younger generation is lacking in any way. It's just that their environment has been so different. And so I think they value experiences much more. You know, travel is relatively easy now compared to before. And like Tusha was saying, if you take an example in the early 1800s, when you traveled somewhere, you would sketch the Taj Mahal because you don't have an iPhone. And so that makes you, that forces you to look at it for a long time and to notice all those details and to try to understand it.
Talk to me about collectors, people who are open to having that experience. Well, have they changed over the years?
Yeah, very much so. I think during the time that we were growing up in this business, a collector was someone who traveled the world, who read a lot of books, who was curious about life and other cultures and other experiences. And only by, you know, traveling to those places or experiencing other things could you acquire those things. And so it was extremely personal to the collector, and it was not only beautiful, it just had a lot more meaning to them. And then that would inspire them to continue collecting and learning about that form of art or artist that they encountered.
Who are these people? What are these collector people like? They still exist, right?
Well, I think you'd be surprised at how normal they are. I think a lot of people think like, ooh, collectors are these rarefied creatures that must have tons of money. But that's not true. There are a lot of people that are on a fixed income and they pace themselves. You know, they buy the best that they can afford at a certain time and they're thoughtful about what they buy. And I think there's a lot of hesitation in a way for people who haven't been exposed to art, is that they don't want to look stupid. You know, like, well, is this good art? Or, you know, am I just making a fool of myself? Mm-hmm. And that's a question that constantly comes up anywhere in the art world, is what makes it good art? And the truth is, if you like it, it's good art for you. And people will tend to you know, you give them choices of like, hey, you know, between these two, which do you like? Oh, well, I definitely like this one better than that other one. And surprisingly, they discover that they do have a taste for art. It's just that they've never been taught to express it or to have confidence in what their own taste is.
But I keep telling people, we're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. We're changing avenues. Aisha's going to be doing paper restoration and art restoration and online sales and so forth. I've gone back to school, I learned some more, and I am now a realtor. I'm an agent for Sotheby's, and Sotheby's has a great art name. I plan on selling homes with good artwork in it. How's that? It's a different avenue.
We have to give so much credit to our father.
Yep.
Tell me about it.
Well, I think my dad is pretty fearless and just bursting with creativity. Every moment he is creating something in his mind or with his hands. And he has tried and failed so many times, and we've seen a lot of those failures, but he's also succeeded. And that's where we draw our inspiration of, yeah, you just gotta change. Nothing stays the same. Even though he won't say that he's a Buddhist, he believes in Buddhist philosophy. And so he always told us, nothing stays the same. Life is always changing, and you have to change with it. There's no fighting that. And you know, that teaches a certain mindset of resiliency. Our parents retired to San Miguel de Allende, so we're so grateful that our parents, you know, had the chance to retire to such a adventurous and beautiful place. They've met so many like-minded people there.
How old is your dad now?
He is
77.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your mother, her name is Judy.
Yeah, and she is 68. Yeah. And she is doing trapeze yoga. And they take, I think, 2 hours of Spanish lessons every morning. They just do stuff. They're always busy doing something. And
do you think he'll be back to Honolulu much?
Not much. You know why? He went and opened a little gallery.
Okay.
They moved there, and for 2 years, they were like, yeah, we're retired. We're, you know, like, just gonna exercise and make friends. And then we get a call. We got this great little gallery. And, you know, you can hear it in their voice. They're just like little kids, like, oh, I'm going to do something fun and cool and make friends. And that's what they do. It's a tiny little place, but it's a place for them to share all these stories and have fun.
What's the name of it?
It's White Lotus Galleria.
White Lotus Galleria in San Miguel de Allende. You may not find it online. How about a toast? Was that fun hearing about Robin Bunton of Honolulu Galleries? How about a toast to new beginnings, huh? As our kicker today, let's get a little Christmas into our lives. But it isn't what it used to be. This is a contemporary kind of Christmas mix by DJ and mixmaster Scott Otoro.
I've been here 18 years and have suffered through some weird thematic Christmases. A Honolulu Christmas, a Walt Fiction Christmas, a more Muslim Christmas, more Moroccan Christmas, more Morocco Christmas. I don't want it.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
I don't care.
This contemporary sound poem about Christmas does not take you on a sleigh ride. It's kind of more urban. Then when Otoro breaks into Ryuichi Sakamoto's Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence, it unlooses the yearning that Christmas is so about. It's called Plain Old Christmas, a 12-minute kind of sonic vignette. And it swings back up at the end, believe it or not. It's a different kind of bowish thing that he finally puts on the top of it, too. It's Scott Otoro, Plain Old Christmas on Bandcamp. Love it.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, whose contributors help Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to the St. Andrew Schools, which includes the Priory School for Girls, the Prep for Boys, and Queen Emma Preschool.
Well, that's it for the week. And coming up next week, Robotics Lost and Found. A remote unmanned vehicle spends 40 days and nights on the bottom of the sea and comes back. Catherine Cruz will be back Monday with that story. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call our talkback line and leave us your comments. Here's the number, 808-792-8217. You can also email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. This program's produced by Lillian Song, Harrison Patino, and Jason Ubai, assisted by Paige Okamura. Mahalo to Gypsy 808. I'm Noe Tanigawa. Happy Aloha Friday, and join us Monday to pick up The Conversation.